Hey everybody, this is Ruthie Renegan, and I'm here on this last episode of season one of Defining Kinks, my special mailbag tie up all the loose ends episode. And with me today, I have my very first guest that was earlier this season, Aurelia Rouse 2 of Reddit. Thanks for hanging in there.
Thanks for inviting me back. So many better options.
No. That's too bad. That's what I told them. There's better options. I go, well, he's available. No, I'm just kidding.
Rude.
Well, I invited Arl back because it had been so long since he'd been on at the earlier season, so I thought he would be excited to come back, and then also because I didn't want a whole episode of me just talking to myself. So thank you for breaking up the Ruthieisms of the episode.
I'm sure I can interject when I'm needed.
Well, we have some different questions that came in over the course of the season. Some are general and some actually talk about specific things we had in the episodes. So we're just going to answer some of these questions that listeners came in with. So the first question that I really wanted to talk about with you is that I received a question that said, how do I, the person wrote in and they said, how do I prevent myself from responding toxically, or how do I handle toxic responses when sharing kinks or when my partner shares theirs? Yeah, it's a tough one.
Interesting one, that one.
It's an interesting, I almost feel, I don't think they were trying to trap anybody, but it was almost like, this is a big question.
Very much so. I mean, I think it's all down to a trust thing. I think everything has to start with a trust, you know, a core trust thing. And I don't think with a lot of people you'd even be bringing it up with someone that you didn't necessarily trust. I think a lot of people overstate just how likely there is going to be a toxic response to a lot of kinks, if it is with someone they trust. You know, I think a lot of people are too afraid to take that jump when it is, there is that trust there. And it's probably, you know, it's probably a lot of psychosomatic than that one, because, you know, it's someone that you trust and someone that you know and someone that you have a relationship with is not going to be the sort of person that's going to turn around and go, oh really, that's disgusting. And let's be honest, if they are, then, you know, there's questions there otherwise, but
yeah, there's probably other underlying issues if that's their response, if it's somebody that you have established relationship and trust with.
Indeed, I mean, like
a toxic relationship, not a response.
Indeed, just have to be prepared to sort of, you know, if it is a very particular kink and it's something that, you know, that the other person isn't into, then that's fine. You know, as long as everyone is just, you know, as long as everyone is comfortable with it, as long as everyone is respectful about it, then all you do is you chalk it up to, well, okay, this partner is not interested in that. That's one to put on the back burner for the time being, or to discuss at a later date and see whether or not there's any chance of it potentially being opened up as, you know, a particular kink on that one. But again, you know, if there is a particularly toxic response or something like that, then, you know, I think that's something, you know, that kind of in and of itself is a very good indicator of just what kind of relationship you've got with that person.
Yes, exactly. I mean, we don't want to offend anybody by saying that, you know, you're dating a bad person or anything like that. But if it's somebody, and I agree, and I think you're saying exactly what I'm feeling. If it's somebody that you love and you trust, or just somebody that you trust that you can be open with, and that's their, like, first response, so, you know, so disgusted, and so it means that they have completely dismissed any of your prior history and almost immediately put, you know, this block up, and that, you know, and they've done so in a way that's, it's so, like I said, it's so dismissive of your history, of your feelings, of your vulnerability. And I feel like that is a red flag for, like you said, for, this is a different discussion you should be having now at that point.
Indeed. And of course, you know, it's fairly straightforward, but anyone that's prepared to marginalize your feelings like that and, you know, treat you as anything less than, you know, the human being that you are, regardless of what the scenario is, you know, is something that you shouldn't allow as, you know, and as an individual, because it's just not a healthy response. You know, if someone's going to, you know, treat you as a sex object, if someone's going to treat you as something that you're not necessarily comfortable with, you know, outside of the play sphere, then, you know, you should really be reevaluating that at that point in time and considering, you know, necessarily where they're coming from and whether or not that's something you want to be continuing with, because, you know, at the end of the day, anyone that listens to this is a human being. You know, you're a person, you have feelings, you have needs, you have, you know, any impulses. But, you know, someone doesn't have the right to minimalize that or to dismiss it just because they don't agree with it.
Exactly. And I like how you said that at that point you need to reevaluate. We're not here to tell anybody what relationships they should be in, what you want, what you don't want. But I do know, when you're in that sort of toxic relationship, I'm always reminded, because I've been in similar relationships, I've talked about it a little bit, my past relationships and my sexual desires, how they weren't met for the longest time. And it was because I just didn't speak up. I didn't say anything. I didn't think I was allowed to. I thought if I did, it would cause issues. And, you know, but for somebody to have a toxic response like that, or to be in a toxic relationship, I always think of, and I'm reminded of the quote from a movie, and it's probably the biggest quote I took away from the movie, and it's Perks of Being a Wallflower. I know the age group in it is a younger age group, but it's got some pretty big messages. But the quote is basically, this girl is in toxic relationships and chooses these horrible people to be partnered with sexually and dating, and this boy who was enamored with her, who, you know, would, you know, it's that cliche of, oh, you know, the one that loves the one that's not seeing it and everything. And he says, why does she do that? Why would she accept, you know, why would she allow these guys to treat her this way or to be talked about this way and everything? And somebody he trusts as a mentor says, we accept the love we feel we deserve. And so if you're in that relationship, you may not only need to evaluate the relationship, but maybe you need to evaluate yourself. And because I think we're our own worst critics, and we think we deserve a lot less than we get usually. Because, yeah, we just do. So I'm not telling you what kind. We aren't trying to tell you. We're not relationship psychiatrists or anything like that. But, yeah, if you're in that kind of relationship or that zone and they respond to you that way when you're being very vulnerable, because it is a vulnerable thing to do. You know, especially if you're in a couple, it's a very intimate thing, your sex relationship with them, usually. It's a very personal thing for you. It's part of your couple. It's your whole essence sometimes, you know.
It's
so
dynamic.
Yeah, so for them to respond such a way, it probably is a good time to evaluate what exactly is the underlying message here or your dynamic.
And I think, honestly, it's a good throwback to the, you know, our original podcast, because I know, you know, admittedly, a lot of the actual topic was dirty talk, but I think we can both agree that a fairly large underlying topic of that was communication.
Yes, exactly.
And just not to be afraid to communicate with your partner, with your significant other, with, you know, your play partner or whatever, because, you know, that is something that's core to any kind of relationship, is the ability to communicate. And you can't, you know, you shouldn't be afraid to do that. And if someone is making you feel afraid to do that, then you need to stand up and be able to be heard. Because at the end of the day, if you're not communicating effectively in any kind of relationship, you know, if it's not a two-way street, then it's not a relationship.
Exactly. And And that is probably one of the questions I've also gotten a lot this season. You know, I'm so afraid to say anything, or I don't know, you know, what if, you know, what if they say this or they say that, it paralyzes me. I can't do it. And I understand that fear. I really do. Mm. And I'm not trying to say you're ridiculous for it or you're wrong for it. It is a legitimate fear. It is a very personal thing. That's why, you know, you said it earlier, Arl, but when you reveal these things, usually it's to someone you trust. And we talk in terms of relationships, but I have very dear friends or very dear family members that I've had these discussions with. And sometimes perhaps that is a better place for you to start. Or if you are single, you know, talking it over with a best friend, you know, I mean, you don't have to have these discussions in the setting that you want to live them out with somebody or who you're having them with. Sometimes you just want to talk adult talk for, you know, so, but usually you've picked somebody you trust. So pick somebody you trust and you have to speak up. Like you said, if you don't, it definitely will never get addressed. It's kind of like the lottery. You'll never win if you don't play.
Indeed.
I mean, the odds, you know, yeah. Sometimes the odds aren't in your favor, and sometimes, I mean, they're equal across the board for anybody. But if you don't play, you're never going to win anyways.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, and I would say we kind of didn't answer this part of the question, but we kind of did. The other side of that is, how do I prevent from being toxic? Be mindful. Mm-hmm. How do I prevent from being the toxic or from responding toxically to someone that's asked me or brought it up to me? Be mindful of their vulnerability. Just hear them out. It's okay to not like the kink. It's not, you don't have to, because somebody tells you something about themselves, you don't have to agree with it. You don't even have to like it, but they do deserve to be heard as a person and respected. Always. Everybody deserves that.
Regardless of what it is. And it's the same with anything, you know. It goes with the old saying, you know, opinions are like arseholes, everyone's got one.
Yeah,
you know, and
that's universal.
Indeed. And you know, at the end of the day, you know, just because you've got one doesn't mean it needs displaying, you know. If you've got an opinion on it, if it's a particularly strong opinion of it, that, you know, that doesn't need to be displayed.
Exactly.
You know, you can, you know, at the end of the day, if you're looking to get into anything in the kink sphere or anything in any kind of sexual sphere, then an open mind is a key.
Yes, exactly.
And if you honestly feel yourself not being able to display that open mind with something, then, you know, that's another point that perhaps a little bit of self-reflection is more telling, you know, a more important point to look at that point, rather than, you know, how to not be toxic. Because, you know, if it's something that you know is important to someone, and it's someone that you have an emotional attachment with, then it really shouldn't be a difficult point to not be toxic or not respond poorly to it.
Yes, yeah. Yes. And then that's when we said, if it is, then it's not the question itself that you should be evaluating anymore. It is the relationship or yourself, how you're allowing your, you know, these gateways you're allowing yourself to walk through or walk into. Indeed. And I know that, you know, oh, dang it, I had a thought and I lost it. I know it was somewhere. It's gone now. Oh,
damn it, Ruthie.
Yeah, God, damn it, Ruth. It was the golden nugget of the episode. When you do this and you trust somebody and you put this all out there, there shouldn't be a dead stop, you know. And how do you not respond toxically? Again, like we said, you should be able to, like I said, you don't have to like it, but that doesn't mean, you know, you all know it doesn't have anything to do with sex, but everybody's been in that situation where you can tell somebody is talking uber passionately or very vulnerably, and you may not understand, you may not like it, you know, or you may think it's ridiculous how much they are invested to this. And that doesn't matter, because you know how much it means to them. And I think most people have been taught that's when you can just nod and listen. And if you don't have anything to say, if you have no opinion or you don't like it, then you can be an adult and say that in nice words. It's called tact.
Yes.
It's not. Everybody knows how to do it. You say you don't, but we've all had work situations, family situations, where we've had to bite our tongues, you know, when dealing with certain family members, because we know you're never going to get through to them. So it's everybody knows that if you have a little bit of tact, you can do that and still be respectful, and it won't be a bad situation.
I mean, tact and empathy, I think, is empathy. The other side of
exactly.
It. It's just being, you know, aware that, you know, how would you feel in the situation if you were opening up and, you know, somebody did turn on you? You know, it's something that is very easy to put yourself in the shoes of another person of, just because it is something that we've probably all been there. You know, everyone's been in a situation where they've had to tell someone something that they've not wanted to tell them, or that's been a very difficult sell.
Yes.
And it's just one of those things that life offers you that you have to try and do, because it's not going to, you know, you're not going to be able to grow as a person if you keep shrinking away from it. But, you know, equally, if you allow yourself to fall down the pitfalls of, you know, oh, well, that's horrific, or, you know, that sort of thing, that there are, you know, that is something that you need to be able to sit back and go, well, how would I feel if someone told me that about something that I loved?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And that's definitely that empathy and everything like that. And then also something to consider, because I think we've pretty much answered the question, and I don't want to keep beating a dead horse, because I feel like we very simply answered it, and then we've just only embellished to, you know, show even more so. But the other thing is the dead stop. I know I mentioned this, but when somebody mentions, especially if you are in a sexual relationship with them, if we get back to being partners, if we're talking about that, whatever your dynamic is, partners, sexual partners are usually not wham, bam, thank you, man. I'm talking about actual partners. You know, if they've done that, then one way to be respectful and not toxic is to not dead stop them, which that means to me, it means if they say, hey, I'm into this, if in your head some red flags are starting to pop up because for whatever reason, then don't just say, nope, don't like it, not interested, stop talking. Like you literally, I know maybe you do have issues, and I'm not saying your issues aren't valid with it, but maybe there are things about it that could appeal to you just enough to at least hear them out or talk about it to them. Or we'll use one that a lot of people know about, or at least think they know about. we'll say like BDSM or bondage. Let's go with bondage. A lot of people think that it means one thing. A lot of people think it means something else. But what they're trying to say, I'm into bondage, you could have visions of somebody suspended 5 foot off the floor with, you know, rope, and so intricate, and to you it might look painful. Somebody who's been in that situation is in that subspace or that, you know, that tied space, and they feel great. But the point is they may just be talking about a pair of handcuffs, but you've dead stopped them. You have lost the ability to find out what really appeals to them about it and how you might be able to slowly explore it together.
Just because they've brought up something that you may not immediately be interested in, it's not to say that 6 months down the line, that might be something that you would be enjoying.
Yeah, and it's okay to say, maybe not today. Or, you know, I don't think we're there yet. You know, or let's try smaller things first, you know, people are like that.
Or even to the point of, I don't think I'm into that, but what does it mean to you? I've never tried it. I don't think I'd like it. But what would we do to sort of dip our toes in?
Yeah, like what what's step A? Like, you know, I don't underget, or, you know, and some people mention kinks, and I've had kinks sent in to me and kinks that I've mentioned on the show. People go, well, what is that? And it's like my episode on narratophilia. A lot of people heard that word, and I had a lot of people thinking it was necrophilia because the words are so close. And I go, oh my gosh, they are so different. The point is people didn't know what it was. And because the word sounded like something else, it scared them off immediately. And all it is, to blatantly put it, it's erotic storytelling in one way or another. And a lot of people read erotica, and a lot of people love to write it and listen to it. You and me know that.
Yeah, it's what we do.
Yeah, it's what we do. So, like, to me, it was just like, oh, this is right in my wheelhouse. And people would be like, ah, what is that? You know, but the point is that sometimes they could say something and you have no clue what it is, you know? So it doesn't hurt to read up on it, research it together. It could be like a really fun bonding experience, you know, just, you know, yeah. Don't be afraid to start small. Don't think you have to jump in the 12-foot deep end with them. Let's dip our toes in. Let's see this, you know?
And like you say, the other thing to bear in mind with is certainly with anything like this is ignorance is not a crime.
Mm-mm.
You know, the only crime is willful ignorance and just complete blindness about it. You know, just refusing to look into anything, but just saying, I don't know what that is. Can you tell me more? Is an entirely sensible answer to anything, just because it puts you on a stronger footing and it lets you understand your partner more.
Yes.
So it is not something that you ever need to be afraid of saying. It's, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's something a lot of people, certainly when it comes to a sexual sphere, is going to go, right, I automatically don't know what that is, so I'm automatically going to back out. But you don't have to. Because at the end of the day, that might be something that you never knew was in your wheelhouse, but suddenly is going to be because you never knew what the name of it is.
Exactly.
So, just keep an open mind.
Yeah, keep an open mind. That is the easiest, in a nutshell, your 5-word answer. Or what is it? Keep an open mind. 4 words. How do I not be toxic? How does my partner not be toxic? Keep an open mind. So, there we go. We've said it in 20 minutes. it was a great question. And honestly, the fact that you're asking and the fact that you're asking and you're saying that, I applaud you for not wanting to be toxic, to have that drive and you never want to offend somebody. It is a very powerful and a very good drive. So, and thank you for the question. Don't think we were mocking you.
No, and also applauding you for being sort of self-aware enough to know that that was a possibility, because it's very easy for people to just dismiss that as something that, well, I wouldn't do that, but anyone could, it's a human nature, all it takes is a bad day or something like that. But, you know, just being self-aware enough to know that that toxicity is a potentiality is a very, very strong thing.
Yes, exactly. And we didn't, this was a second question I had, and this kind of goes off that first question, because we've kind of hinted on it, the possibility of your partner or whoever you, we're going to say partners because that's who this would apply to. But you reveal this kink, this fetish, your interest to do so. And at the end of the day, for all your stops in communication station on the train, however many stops, however many conversations you've had, no matter the hours you've spent actually being adults and communicating if necessary, at the end of the day, what if, and it's a twofold question because it's basically both sides, what if my partner is not into my kink or I'm not into theirs? Is it okay, or should, you know, what if they want to seek other partners to explore such, or is it okay for me to ask so? Was the question.
It's a very twisted web.
I feel like somebody's trying to trap me. No, I don't think you're trying to trap me. It's a little bit of a loaded question, but honestly, at the end of the day, that comes down to your relationship dynamic.
Very much so.
Which has nothing to do with me. Some relationships are monogamous, but they are open sexually. Some are open. Polyamory is a thing we've talked about many times this season. And if you've got multiple partners, then there you go. Or something that I've suggested in an episode is that if you visit a play space as a couple, I do know couples where the female is very much into bondage and being suspended, and the male is not into learning such. He's not really into it, but he accompanies her to play dungeons or play spaces, whatever they're called in your area, and he watches her enjoy herself. He's there to support her, And usually in those places, there are no sexual acts that are not consensual, and there's a lot of different degrees for every play space. But that allowed her to live her kink or to do her thing and be herself, and for him to be supportive of her. And they're a very healthy couple. See, he didn't have to do it. But honestly, at the end of the day, it really just comes down to your relationship dynamic.
Indeed. And I mean, the other thing to consider is just how important that particular kink is to you.
Yes.
And I mean, I know, you know, the entire point of the podcast is, you know, is sexual exploration. But when it comes down to it, it is just sex. And sometimes if you're in a relationship and it transcends everything else, then it's just not going to matter. If that particular kink is not being fulfilled, or it's not going to matter if that particular aspect doesn't have an outlet, because it is, you know, it is something that goes beyond just worrying about the sexual side of things. Now, you know, don't get me wrong, it's not something that you should ever stop talking about. You know, always having an open discourse with your feelings, with your partner, and you know, how you feel about it. But it's entirely okay, you know, if it's not something that you're into, or if it's not something that your partner's into, then you find something that is.
Exactly.
You know, and just channel that energy into something mutual.
Yeah, definitely. No kink discussion, or, you know, bringing up a new kink or something for you guys to explore. That should never be a relationship saver. It should be a sexual relationship enhancer, or agreed. We want to grow or try something new. This shouldn't be, we're on the rocks, we're having issues, let's try a new kink, because that's not going to do it, especially if only one person brings it up. Hey, we're having relationship problems. I've always wanted to try bondage. Let's do it. I mean, that just comes from the end of, like, I want to see, you know, and, you know, but it's definitely, at the end of the day, it is just one area of your relationship. And like you said, if your relationship is transcending everything else, and this is the kind of, you know, all your life relationship that you want, then it really isn't going to be as huge. And if it, and then on the other side of the coin, just in case, because we don't know, and maybe you won't realize this until you're in this moment, but if they, after all your conversation, your talk, they say, nope, that is not something that I'm going to do. It's not something I'm into, and I feel uncomfortable about it. And if you keep thinking about it and thinking about it and thinking about it, and you can't let it go, so much to the point that you might be considering infidelity or breaking trust with your partner, then at that point, it is time to evaluate how important your relationship is. Because that should be, I mean, I know we said that, you know, it's just a thing and your relationship will transcend it. Well, if your relationship is not doing so, then perhaps you're only in a relationship that you're comfortable in, and that you know, it's a comfortable relationship. Yeah, but you need more. And that means that it's time to evaluate the relationship as a whole, I think. So, but other than that, find out your dynamics. Sometimes they'll be willing to try, you know, other things. And because this is a kink show, I haven't really hit on the kink a lot, but role playing is a very you know, nice thing. Or, you know, just being open with them. Okay, maybe you're not into it. Are you cool with me indulging in listening to audios or watching pornography, showcasing those things? You know, and most partners are like, no, if you want to do that and that's your thing, do the thing. You know, I mean, we all get it. We all have needs and stuff. But like I said, if it's a sexual need, then usually, I mean, they understand it, but that doesn't mean they should have to be uncomfortable. So, yeah.
And the other thing to remember as well, as we've talked a lot about the relationship dynamic, is to remember that the relationship dynamic is not a static entity. It's not something that's defined and then just stays, you know, just forged in marble until, you know, that's it. It is something that evolves. It's something that changes. It's something that through discussion and through, you know, actually in experimenting and just feeling another person out, is something that will grow into something that you're more comfortable with.
Yes.
So just because something is not on the table right now doesn't mean that it's something that should ever be dismissed completely.
No. You know,
it's something that's worth revisiting every now and again, just bringing it up, seeing if the, you know, seeing if the water's changed, seeing whether or not there's anything different or any different opinions, and just discussing it. Because, you know, the relationship dynamic is something that is very, very strong, but it's also something that's very difficult to pin down a lot of time.
Yes.
Because, and just remember as well, with a relationship dynamic, just because you feel that it works in a particular way doesn't necessarily mean that your partner feels that it works in a particular way. Mm-hmm. So just make sure that discussion is always open, is always changing, is always evolving, and the relationship, the dynamic is still kept in mind regardless of what you do together or what you, you know, you investigate, or, you know, what you agree. Because, you know, what might be okay at one point might not be okay later on, or what might be, you know, completely off the cards at one point you might want to investigate some other time. So just bear in mind that it's something to keep under the microscope, as it were, just to give it time to, you know, to gestate, and to give it, you know, give it that time it needs to grow.
Exactly. I was just literally just having this conversation with some of my listeners the other day, that one of the most beautiful things I think about romance, and when you're in a romantic relationship with someone, especially over a long-term period, is its evolvement, how it evolves, you know. And I said, and they were like, oh, I don't understand what you mean. And very simply, I'll just put it very simply, just because it's not couth now for whatever reason, or if it is, it could change later regardless. So
indeed.
Just know it's never a end all be all at any moment. You're always going to be changing and morphing as a person and as a couple. So
indeed. And you never know what domino is going to knock over the next at the end of the day. You know, sometimes you might investigate some other kink and it may lead into something they didn't think they wanted to do. Or, you know, it may be aspects of it that suddenly got them rethinking their stance on something else, you know. And it's just that communication. You know, it's that interplay. You just need to keep, you know, keep it evolving, because stagnation is the worst thing to ever do.
Oh yeah, that's probably the relationship killer there. That's, I think, before any kink, probably is the lack of communication. Because you cannot be interested in the same things they are. But when you stop talking about things, stop growing, then that's going to be the real issue.
So. Agreed.
So yeah, well. So those were the couple of questions that I wanted to talk to you about and get another opinion on. All right, Arl. Well, after our episode, I had a bunch of write-ins from listeners that say that we hit on the appeal of it. They are interested in dirty talk, but where do they start? A lot of the questions are like, well, I don't know what to say. I don't know how to say it, you know. Is there, you know, certain words? And I know we talked about some of this in the episode, so I thought we would just hit on it again. And then, as we are performers that like to delve in the wheelhouse of dirty talk, we're going to probably give you guys some examples and some just small scenarios that might get your mind working a little bit on what maybe you can do with your partner or potential partners when the moment strikes you. So, all right. So, number one, words. The question is, what words do I use? My answer, any words you want to.
and also, the other important point is none at all.
Yeah, none at all. Yes. Sometimes, none at all.
A lot of people seem to forget that when it comes to sort of dirty talk, when it comes to anything with interacting with a partner, sometimes just the raw need that you can convey in a tone or in any kind of utterance doesn't have to be any kind of sort of understandable word. It doesn't have to be anything. All you need to know, all that person needs to know, is just how much you need them.
Yes, exactly. I think that's what I call my thing. Because sometimes you don't know what to say, or you don't know that whole minute. And sex is very in the moment sometimes. You know, so I'm referring of like in the moment. So sometimes it's very in the moment, and sometimes you don't know like right off the top of your head what to say. And sometimes that's okay, because sometimes it gives them the chance to take it a little further, and then you might have something come to mind. So that's something that is a practice I use. Now I feel like I'm giving all my secrets away. But if I don't know what to say, and I just want you to keep going because I want to hear you expound a little bit more, or I'm really into hearing what you're saying because I love dirty talk, then, yeah, I have my standby, and maybe it will cook something up in my brain, or maybe it gives you the ability to just kind of push us more and more. So.
And the other thing to remember, and I know it was very easy to forget, certainly with, you know, the arena that Ruthie and I ran in, is it doesn't have to be perfect because it's not going to be. Mm-mm. You know, the wonder of what we do is we record it. We can fine tune that as much as we
can edit.
We can take out. We can go, well, that sounded crap. Let's start that. Let's try that one again. Okay. And yeah, none of it ever has, you know, the stuff that would be, you know, the baseline stuff, that tends to end up just on the editing floor because you never hear the stuff that doesn't work. But when it comes to the real life, when it comes to doing it with a person, it's going to be stop-start. It's going to be messy. It's going to be a feeling out process. But hey, that's sex.
That's sex. And that's a relationship. Anything in your relationship requires that kind of work. So why wouldn't you think sex would?
Oh, very much so. You know, you can't, you know, even if there's a particular, you know, even if there's someone's got a flair for it, you know, there's always going to be something that you're, you know, they'll come out with it and go, really? Okay.
Okay. You know, I'll give an example. I can do it. I'll put myself under the bus right here. Everybody that knows I have a particular kink that I'm very much into. So one day, okay, and if you didn't know, it's breeding and impreg. But one day I was trying to be flirtatious and I was trying to like give a little dirty talk, I guess. And somebody asked me how my day was, you know, said partner was just like, oh, well, how was your day? And I was just like, it's been productive. And then like, but then I was like, okay, I'm going to make this a little spicy because really my day was boring. It was productive, but it was boring. I wanted to spice things up. So I said, oh, it was pretty productive. And then I was like, but I would have rather it if it had been reproductive. Because I'm an idiot. And I put like a little winky face with a kiss and they were like, really? And I'm like, I tried.
I tried. Leave me alone.
I mean, but like, come on, that was really lame. But the fact is we were able to, because they got the hint that I was in a flirty mood and that maybe I wanted to spice things up. And so then we went a different direction. And there you go. It still worked out. But we were able to laugh at me being ridiculous and move on.
And that's going to be a lot of it. You know, there's going to be points that you're going to try feeling something out. There's going to be bits that you're going to try, you know, working on a particular angle. And it's just going to fall flat. But, you know, at the end of the day, no matter how stupid you think you sounded, no matter how flat it came off, no matter how much it was, you know, it kind of deadpanned, at the end of the day, it's just something that you're just going to look at and go, that was funny. I wish I'd have rephrased that. And your partner's probably going to do exactly the same thing, going, at least you tried.
Yeah, right? You know, I think they'll be glad you were engaged. You know, that you were engaged and that you were trying to be sexy. You wanted to spice it up a little bit. You know, I think they'll be, more than anything, I think they'll be happy about that. Or, I mean, I would anyways. Any sort of proactiveness from my partner always means something to me. So I think most people are like that, you know, and you can just laugh about it. You don't have to be embarrassed. Like I said, sex is fun. Sex is intimate. It's a thing. And usually for most people, it's something you're growing with, you know, and stuff.
And sex is messy. Very messy.
Oh, yeah. Totally gross.
There's going to be so many false starts. There's going to be so much laughing because it's just so much that's just going to either not go right or it's going to go wrong or it's just going to be ridiculous. And that's half the fun.
Yes, exactly. So So are there any magic words? There's not any magic words. You don't have to be flowery with it. I mean, if you want to be, and that's your way of doing it, if you're a very flowery language type of person and you like to use like 30 different words for the male anatomy, that's your thing. I'm saying not that because oral says that's me. Not that someone else has done that. Not that somebody's done that. but if that's your thing, then that's your thing. and if your thing is to be very very simple and very primal and get down to just very base need in words, then that can be very much appreciated as well. Just, you know, do what feels natural to you.
Yeah. What works for you and also what works for your partner. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you can go with your own trick. But whatever works for you also has to be integrated with, you know, whoever you're currently talking to. Because, you know, at the end of the day, you can be all into the primal, but they might not be. You know, they may need a different tack to that. And when it comes to that, it's not ever that you're going to run into a hard wall, because you've got to remember, if you're into the primal, then that's also very much into the nurturing side of things, into the protective side of things.
Yes.
And that's something that will very much work with someone that isn't as, you know, heavily into the primal. It's just you need to keep an open mind with what you're saying and what they're responding with.
And it's, I don't know why, because I'm a food person, that's why. I was like, I don't know, it's kind of like ice cream. You can say I like chocolate ice cream, and that's great, but, you know, you can also turn it one way or the other. Do you like vanilla with chocolate chips, or do you like double fudge brownie piece chocolate? I mean, both of them have chocolate,
but
it's just different flavor, like different profiles.
And you got to remember that whatever way you're playing it, you can't force this ice cream on someone. Because they might just not like it. Simple as.
I'm just imagining ridiculous, like, ice cream sex play now. Just take it. You know, it's just, like, too much. But, yes, no, you can't force it on anybody, because then nobody's going to enjoy it. You're going to be working too much. It's not they're not going to be responsive. You're not going to like it. And then when it's forced on you, if you're anything like me, you become almost completely shut down, and then it just becomes into I'm pissed off, you know, and then you're done. So, you know.
And equally on the other side of the coin is you'll know when it works, because they will eat it up. You know, they will very much be the obvious tells that the you know, whatever's going is going very deep. And, you know, to go with the ice cream, it's been devoured. You know, it's gone, and they just want more.
Yeah, exactly.
And it is something, as long as you're astute and you're prepared to listen to your partner and how she's responding to it or how he's responding to it, because it's not sex specific, you know, it's it's all very much a similar thing regardless. Is as long as you're listening for the tells, or you're watching for the tells, or, you know, then that is something that will let you get exactly the right flavor.
Exactly. Yeah, no, and pay attention. I know we say communication, one big part of communication is body language and nonverbal cue. So also pay attention to that.
Indeed.
You know, because sometimes they are so switched on. I don't know. Not everybody's experienced it, but a lot of people have those moments where everything is just so hot and heavy. You can't find the words. You can't. You're just like completely overwhelmed.
You're just responding. Yeah.
And then, and that's it. You don't have anything to say, you know, and I've been there too. And so, if you see that they look positively overwhelmed because it's just so much, it's firing so much, they're hearing it, they're and sometimes they won't have a response, but you'll definitely know when they're tensing and cringing and like, know, and they kind of like backed up a few steps. So just pay attention to that, like you said.
And I think another important point as well, and I know this is probably going to go fairly contrary to the point, is knowing when to shut up. And that is very, very difficult to tell sometimes. Because sometimes, you know, you can find yourself right in the moment and you're going on heavy, but knowing when to pull back, knowing when to give, you know, your partner time to breathe and to really soak in is much as important part as knowing what to say and when, you know, how to say it. Because you can overload people to the point that they just don't find it interesting anymore. It's just not you know, not as engaging because you can...
Yeah, start a little small, yeah.
Yeah. You can burn out the synapses, essentially, with it. You know, it can get to the point that it's too much. But if you know when to shut up or, you know, when to throttle back or just when noises are appropriate, you know, when it's got so, you know, it's got so intimate and got so much to the point, then... each, you know, the only thing you need to say is just the sounds that you're making with each other. And that is kind of an important point. But again, it's not something that I can ever say right here. That's where you need to throttle back, or that's when you do need to, you know, you need to put it on the gas. Because it's different. Yeah,
it's different for everybody and stuff. But I do know that moment you're talking about, too, where it's almost like that let it soak in moment, where at that point, everything that you've said, everything that you're doing, you're in the moment, you know, and stuff. And, you know, you're just playing it over and over in your mind. You're looking into their eyes. You know everything that they've said. It's just the sound of your breathing or the noises you're making. And, you know, yeah, then there's moments like that definitely where it's like, okay, you don't need to say anything more. You've said it all. You know, it's fine. You know, we've nailed it home. You know, like, let's just do this, you know. Sometimes, and it's hard to read that sometimes, but I think sometimes, you know, in a good way to gauge that sometimes is just leave moments. I know... something that we've learned as performers, just because we do audio erotica, is that you've learned that sometimes there's a lot that can be communicated with a pause, and you don't even realize it. But pacing and pausing are a big, it gives them time to respond.
Yeah, time to soak it in. Time
to soak it in, sort
of internalize what's been said, or to let it really run through them, because certainly would, as you say, with the fact that we're audio performers, and it's one of the first things I will always say to someone, you know, when they're starting out, is take your time. You know, there's no rush, you're not against the clock, and sometimes the way you say something, and sometimes, you know, the how it's left to linger just gives you enough time to let that sort of jolt run down the listener's spine.
And
that's when you know you've got them.
Yeah, that's when you've trapped them. They're not going to be pushing pause on this one. No, definitely. So we are going to run through something else. That we've kind of communicated a little bit. We've said it's how. It's not always what you say, but it's how you're saying it. Something we've learned also as performers is tone is very important.
Incredibly.
Incredibly important. Volume and tone without even... and sometimes it's going to come to you completely naturally. And sometimes it's something you're going to have to learn a little bit and play around with a little bit. It's okay to play around with a little bit, you know, but it's also would vary from moment to moment, you know. So we're going to have a little fun and run through a few little scenarios, little ideas here. We're not going to get too spicy as... I don't want to have my podcast pulled anywhere, so. but these are purely for educational purposes. So, I'm going to have you do this one, Arl, because you're the gentleman. I know they say ladies first, but I'm going to let you go first. let's say that the tone of you, very dominant male, and you are hot. And you have your partner, and they are your sole focus right now. And this has been an intense session. And I just want you to communicate your need to them. And just, you know, let's say very simply the phrase, I need you. Very simple. It's a pretty universal phrase in a lot of ways, in a lot of languages and dynamics. So,
again, it's always something that tends to vary, but
it can vary.
Very much so. And it's very, you can go very very sort of far on either end of the, you know, the spectrum with it. Because I mean, the top end of the spectrum is if you're hot and heavy in it, and there's the, you know, there's the growl in the back of your throat, and your hackles are up, and you know that that need is all consuming, and there's "I need you."
Mm-hmm.
But equally, on the other side of the coin, when you know it's hot and heavy, and when you know that that point needs to be made across, there's also when you go the far end of the far end, the low end of the tone, and all you need to do, and just the drop in tone as well can do it, and "I need you" can make a big difference.
Yes, two very different tones, both mm-hmm. communicated the same thing, obviously mm-hmm. a very blatant need for your partner, and they both were dominant in different ways. But see, it was the same thing, you know. So basically, you just need to find out between you and your partner, or per session, what is your sexual tone. And that's, like I said, play around with it. And sometimes it's going to be different sometimes.
And the thing is, at the end of the day, is a lot of this is not something you need to think too much about. Mm-mm. Because you're going to know when you're in that moment, when your partner's there, when you're staring her in the eyes, exactly where that's coming from. Mm-hmm. And that's the only thing you need to tap into. You just need to be as honest with yourself and with her as you can. And you just open it up. I know I'm just using the words "just," but you can't, you know, when you're so deep in that zone, and when mm-hmm. you're in that moment, and when, you know, you've got the partner there, it's something that you just need to tap that door open, because it will open the rest of the way itself. The strength of that need, the strength of that emotion isn't in how much you've thought about how you're going to sort of convey it. It's how much you feel it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's a lot of people don't realize that a lot of dirty talk is simply just opening your mouth in those moments. I know mm-hmm. you get breathing and you get hot and heavy, and you already know through your mind, you know, you're already thinking all this ways. "God, this feels great. I love this. She's so sexy. He's so hot. You know, I love when he does this. You know, I wish he would kiss my neck." You know, all these things that you're already thinking. Sometimes it's just mere vocalizing them. That's mm-hmm. all. It's just peeping up. I know sometimes we get caught in the grand show of things, and we get caught in the moment, and sometimes it is overwhelming and we can't say those things, as we've discussed. But when you can, say them. And sometimes it'll be hit or miss, because sometimes, like me, you're just goofy and some things just fall out, you know, that really don't matter. But, you know, it does happen. Like, you know, if something fell out, like, "Did I leave the stove on? You know, like, did we take the muffins out?" And it's just for that moment, like, "What? Yeah, we did." You know, and then you just keep going. Like, it just happens. But, you know, that's not what you wanted to say, but sometimes it tumbles out and it's okay. Same thing from a submissive side as a female. The same phrase, "I need you." I can go complete, desperate, utter, just so desperate, you know, and so submissive. "I need you," you know. And then also at the same time, that's almost like a playful, almost on the verge of like very, you know, submissive. And then you've got the woman that is also submissive, but she's also very sure of herself, and she's very sultry, you know, and stuff. And she just very plainly says, "I need you," you know, and you can hear that it's both of them need you very much. Mm-hmm. But it's just different ways, different tones mm-hmm. for different moments, you know? And I think that's, you know, it's just a thing. I don't know. As far as words, you can say it in a million ways, I guess. You know, "I really need you right now. I want to sneak off together," you know, or whatever.
You know, to close your eyes, mm-hmm. put yourself in front of them, you know, in your mind's eye, and tell them that "I need to do this to you. And then once we've done this, mm-hmm. I want to do this and this and this, even if it's something as you know, as low level as I need to press against you and kiss your neck, or I need to slowly strip you and worship your body, anything like that, to give yourself that sort of set, you know, that mindset, and put your partner definitely in the same place with you, is a very powerful thing.
Yes. Oh yeah, no, and that's a lot of people don't realize dirty talk sometimes is just running through that. And those are great warm-ups and great. I love dirty talk that is a prelude. I love dirty talk that is all the before. Yeah, in the moment it's great, and especially if you are in long distance relationship or online partnerships, which is a thing now, more prominent. You know, telling them what you would do with them, what would you like to do with them, how would you start things, you know, and it could be very simple, you know, and you can say things, you know, especially, you know. One of my favorite things, and because we're talking about online, one of the most prominent things now is sexting, or, you know, text-based role-playing and things like that from a sexual perspective. And it's very fun and sexy to, let's say you're at the office and you're having to work and it is a humdrum day and you just hate it. And, you know, and then maybe your partner texts you, or you know, whoever, you know, that you may have a promiscuous relationship with or whatnot, you know, or somebody that you flirt with, you know, casually. And definitely it can be a thing where it's like, oh, I'm just sitting at the office, so bored, you know, but I really wish, you know, that I was with you, or I wish you were here. And it was just like, oh, well, why do you wish that? You know, and it's just like, you know, leaving the door open for them, like, oh, okay, well, what would you do? Or, you know, and stuff. Or it's like, I'm here, but my mind's a million miles away. Oh, really? What's going on? It's just like, oh, I'm just thinking about if we went out to dinner and we were sitting there having a good time. And then I just kind of reached over and slowly let my fingertips run along your thigh. See, like, you've just started to slowly play out a scenario. And it can lead to this whole scene that you guys write out to each other. Or you can talk about it if you're on the phone, if it's long distance. So it's very much, sometimes it's literally just vocalizing what you would do or what you are doing and talking about it. And that's why we say that, and a lot of times you don't even really have to think about it, because it really is just in the moment, you know. And it doesn't have to be flowery. Like I said, saying, I need you. This feels great. I love, you know, how you feel. I love how you make me feel. I know that for me, it's simple things like that too that mean a lot, or that really get me going. Because they're simple.
And the other thing to remember is, you know, it doesn't even necessarily have to have a point. It doesn't even necessarily, because at the end of the day, a simple, oh, fuck, can be just as important, you know, just as important and just as expressive as anything.
Yes, with, so much. I love that.
You know, it doesn't have to have a narrative. It doesn't have to have a point. It doesn't have to have a, you know, it doesn't have to have this grand stage show. Sometimes just letting them know that, Jesus, fuck, you're enjoying yourself.
Yes, exactly. It's that, because I think the stigma is that we can't talk about sex, and that dirty talk is so naughty, that when somebody does open their mouth, or when they lose that bit of control to vocalize during sex, it like can thrill you or excite you. I know personally, I love to hear my partners, even if there's no working dialogue, to, you know, like you said, to go, fuck, you know, or like, oh God, or, you know, just like any kind of noise, groan or something, because it means they literally could not hold it in. And, you know, it tells me how much they're enjoying it. And that really turns me on even more, knowing that they're enjoying it. You know, because it, I don't know, it just feels good to know that the person you're having sex with is enjoying sex.
And they're
with
actually
you.
In the moment.
I know it kind of seems like I guess, remedial or thought, or like rhetorical, but really, like, sometimes, I don't know, it's one of those things that you don't realize until they've vocalized, or like they've made those noises, and when you're like, yes, they love this, and it's making me love it more, you know. So.
And it's a very powerful thing. It should never be underestimated, and, you know, it's something that you can also use as a tell as well, because, you know, if you've just said something and you've just elicited the, you know, the most breathless "oh fuck" out of someone, then you know you've hit home with what you just said, and you know that is something that they really enjoy, and it's something worth filing away for, you know, for elucidation, for experimentation, for, you know, giving it something something more meaty, you know, to worry about later on. It's something that's very, very good. You know, gasps, moans, any kind of, you know, unknown, you know, exultations like that is just a wonderful way to know that you are really getting under their skin.
Definitely. So that's good. And yeah, no, that's it. And you can, you know, and be playful for it. I think that's the one thing we haven't mentioned. We've mentioned be able to laugh at yourself, but also be playful about it and stuff. Sometimes it's funny, and you can have like your own little codes for thing. I know couples develop jokes. We've talked about all this kind of in small, but, you know, have fun with it, you know, and stuff. And I know that people, all the times we're adults, we know that we have dirty minds sometimes, because someone will say, you know, like a, what is it, phrasing, you know, the way you say something or whatever and stuff, or that's what she said. We all have those things that people say sometimes, and when it says, it comes out like a little dirty, you know, and stuff. Or if you're being playful in the kitchen and you're cooking dinner and stuff, and you know, one of you goes, "Oh geez, it's hot in here," you know, and stuff, and then the other person goes, "Oh, it is," you know, and stuff. And it's just like, it's a playful thing, and it's silly, and you can just like jazz it up and turn it into something sillier, but it's your tone and doing it together that makes it sexy.
The other thing to remember as well is, you know, it doesn't even necessarily have to have an intent in the bedroom or something like that, because, you know, at the end of the day, it's, you know, you can take something that you can mess around with, you know, something like, as you say, someone going, you know, "Oh, it's really warm in here," and you can just turn it around and go, "Well, damn right you are." And sometimes that's enough to just get that spark there, you know, that just get that you know, that ball rolling. And it doesn't even have, and, you know, it doesn't actually end up into anything. But sometimes that, just that little charge, just that little spike is enough to, you know, to put a smile on someone's face. And sometimes that's enough, you know, sometimes that's all you're looking for.
Just that little bit of, you know, just a little bit. Definitely. So, but yeah, no, that's really great. And the same thing like that, you know, and stuff, or some people, fun things, you know, like I said, it just little sparks, little things like that and stuff. Or if you have code, I know that some couples, they've developed little codes for each other where they'll be having dirty talk in front of their friends, and their friends won't even realize it. And sometimes that's an exciting game, you know, and stuff. And I had a couple of friends that they were, I guess I have a lot of friends that are foodies like me. And they basically had equated that they were basically telling the story of baking cookies in the kitchen. You know, like baking cookies and how it got everywhere and stuff like that. And what we didn't know, the woman revealed to me later, is they were actually the entire time talking about a sexual experience in the kitchen. They were just using all cooking terms that they knew exactly what they were talking about, you know. And it's just like, "Oh, well, you know, he wasn't careful and he got it all over me, you know." And, you know, all this stuff. And so, like, later when she told me this and she equated the story, I went, "Oh, my gosh." And so to them, apparently later I found out that he was, I mean, I wouldn't encourage this, obviously, but I mean, you know, if that's your thing, it's your thing. But basically, she was telling me that she was teasing him and they were kind of being playful, and then it brought up the memory. And then basically she said he was trying to stifle a boner in front of, because like it brought back the memory and it was so naughty and it was promiscuous for them to know what they were talking about. So sometimes, like you said, it's that little spark, and sometimes doing it in front of mixed company or sexting just throughout the day or while somebody's at work, sometimes that makes all the difference to the excitement to it. It's not even something monumental, but it's the fact that you know what you're talking about. You know, you can read.
Yeah, and again, with that sort of thing, you can, you know, it doesn't even necessarily have to be the words that you say. You know, sometimes it just can be a certain tone that your partner knows is It's more on the promiscuous side, or, you know, a certain look on your face that your partner knows is trouble. And then from there, it's just a case of, that's going downhill. But it's still fun because it's still something that you've got. You know, it gives you that little spark between each other because, you know, you could be ordering food at a diner or something like that, and you could be saying it in such a way that you know is getting your partner, you know, you're giving them that little tingle. And that's sometimes, you know, just that little interplay. It's just part of something that cements a wonderful, wonderful interplay between people.
Yes, exactly. No, definitely. And that's, I think that's a big thing we've talked about. The whole season I've talked about communication. And that's just the thing. Just be open and communicate. And couples that do, I think, you know, really have healthy relationships forever, how long they are. Because they're able to translate that across every area of their relationship, including sex.
I think the bottom line is basically talk to people, people.
Talk to people. Talk to people. Definitely. Well, and I think we've also hit on empathy. Consider their feelings and consider how you would feel if you were in their position. And if you can do that, I think most of the time you will enjoy yourself and you will be understanding enough, you know, that if you need to laugh it off, or that, you know, you'll know if they're being vulnerable, you'll know if they're trying to be sexy, you know, you'll be able to read their signs better if you just pay attention to everything a little bit more.
Yeah, be aware of, you know, how they are feeling at the time. And indeed, you know, because, I mean, the worst thing is now trying to push into a sexy talk conversation with someone who's clearly not into it. Stonewally as all hell, and, you know, just trying to play everything down, and, you know, just be aware, because, you know, not everyone's going to be into it all the time, and even if it is with a partner, they may just not be in the mood. So pay attention to the signs, pay attention to the tells, and, you know, just be mindful of who you're talking to and how you're talking to them at that point. If they're just not, you know, if they're not responsive, you know, if they're not responsive and you keep drilling things harder in, it's not going to change things. They're just going to clam up and they're just going to stop being responsive, and it's probably going to end in an argument. So,
yeah, if you're in a couple, if you're in a relationship or a partnership, it will probably end up in an argument, or at least those moments of passive aggressiveness, you know, which sometimes does lead into an argument, or it leads to no talking whatever amount of time before you just let it slide over and be done with it. It'll lead to those things. If you aren't in a partnership and you are simply courting one another in whatever facet that is, that will probably lead you to the ghost zone quicker than anything.
It definitely means that nobody's getting laid.
And that's the other counterpoint. Definitely no sex. We know it's not always the intent of it, but it definitely ain't going there now. So, because there's nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing unsexier than someone that is not open to my needs at the moment. And so if I'm not feeling it, or I'm dialing it back or whatever and stuff, I think one of the most telling moments for me one time is when, about a personality of someone, is when we were getting steamy and things were getting hot and heavy, and I dialed it back about 5 notches, because at that moment I realized my needs had nothing to do with sex. My needs were for intimacy, and so I dialed it back, and it took them a minute to find their footing, but then they found it, they read me well, and they dialed it back too. And that meant so much more to me than a person that would have kept going, and then when I stonewalled them, boner or not, if they would have been pissed with me, you know, or gotten, tiffy about it, then that would have just pissed me off. You know, like, it would have just kept going. It would have snowballed.
But the other side of the coin as well is just to remember that, you know, the person you're talking to is a human being. If you're gonna go hard with, if they're not clearly not interested, then the only thing you're doing at that point is objectifying them. And that is not something you should be looking to do with any human being. And indeed, you should not allow yourself to be objectified as anything like that. No. You know, if it's not what you want at the time, no means no. Step back, take a breather, And if they're continuing, just drop them. They're just, it's not worth the effort, and it's not worth the, you know, the knock to your own confidence to be objectified in that sort of way.
Exactly. Nope. Consent, consent, mm-hmm. consent, communication, communication, communication. Those are probably the biggest things we've talked about this mm. season. So, and they're important ones when you do a kink. So, very much so. Well, thank you so much for being my guest for this episode and playing fun games with me and talking about stuff and being mm-hmm. on this season. You guys can always check out Oral. I've linked him and all my other guests this entire season. But yes, thank you for being here and talking more about
pleasure as always.
Right, right. In any tone or fashion. There's a lot. Awesome. Okay, so attached to all of my posts, I had a suggestion box where you could anonymously submit ideas for the show, questions, concerns, anything like that. So I'm just going to fan through it. Some of them I'm going to filter out because some of them have nothing to do with the show, believe it or not. So, and I think they got it confused with my suggestion box. So anyways, or they didn't. I just wanted to make sure they were heard. So anyways, I'm going to go through here. Could you guys talk about penetration? What are you talking about when you say technique? Is it thrusting, angles, positions, specifics? How much does size play a role? Not just dick size, but ass or body size as well. And what does it specifically feel like for a woman? That's so hard to explain. If you don't have a vagina, it's very hard to explain. For me, how do you explain? I'm going to try to explain. You guys are trying to get me here. Have you ever had like phantom taste? I don't know if anybody knows what I'm talking about here, but picture it like you're going to eat a pickle or some ice. You know, like when you're holding it in your hand, like before it gets to your mouth, and then you kind of get that sensation of like the cold or the sour already, and it kind of makes your mouth kind of like pucker in anticipation. That's kind of what a vagina is like, in the sense that like it's a part of you that like has its own reactions and things. That's the best I can equate it to. Otherwise, I don't know how I can illustrate that you have a part of you that you can control muscular-wise. You can in pornos, and in real life, you may have had partners that are able to, if they do, more so if they do the Kegel exercises and stuff, but they can vaginally squeeze and massage you without you moving inside of them. So, I mean, it's something you can control. As far as penetration, we may visit it more in a future episode, possibly when we consider different kinks, especially if we talk about threesomes or double penetration and everything like that. I don't know how to equate it. I mean, if I can control that muscle, I mean, like, I just feel like I know that I don't have anything in me. And when I get horny or when I'm ovulating, particularly for me, it's like nothing will do except to have that filled in some way. And it doesn't even have to be the whole length or anything. To me, size doesn't matter. The fact that there is something in me that I guess my vaginal canal can like grip and be tightened around, it's like this whole biological factor. I don't want to get like too crazy here. I don't want to get my podcast taken off anywhere. We've talked about a lot of stuff, but I don't know. I feel like I'm kind of getting into like deep waters here. As far as like thrusting angles and stuff, yes, some are deeper, some are more effective, no matter your size, for getting deeper. I know, like, the legs on the shoulders when the legs are straight up. I know a woman laying on her side and having her legs straight up. And that kind of angle for me is probably the deepest one. Also, I mean, there's just like benefits to different angles. Just try different things. Does body size matter? Ass size, things like that. I guess it just depends on the shape. I have heard of partners that their ass is bubbly. So it's like hard to do like doggy style because the partner can't like get in there. But I feel like if you had a sex pillow or a wedge pillow, if you don't know what that is, it's like a triangle pillow that she can like, it elevates her pelvis and it kind of brings her ass more into the air. And then she's like at this downward triangle angle. That would kind of, gravity would kind of lift her ass up some. I don't know. I'm not a mechanic. I'm not a mathematician. And I want to help. Yeah, it's just like a lot of different things. I don't know if there's a technique. Just go with what you're feeling and be very aware and listen to your partner. If you're hitting them in a certain way, like penetrating them in a certain way, and they really moan or gasp, and you, if you're being penetrated, give some feedback. You know, oh, I love that position because of this. I love this position because I think you hit my G-spot really well. I love this position because I can look into your eyes. Everybody likes different positions for different reasons. So just try them all, I guess. You know, be safe, try them all, and there you go. That question, the next question did talk about toxic responses and unhealthy behaviors involving broaching the topics of kink, which I talked about with orally aroused. As you will see, this is not a kink, but could you do an episode about body confidence or body dysphoria? You're right. That is not a kink. However, body worshiping, and I also want to approach an episode based on the erogenous zones of the body. So I am going to approach these things. But for those that don't know, body dysphoria, there's body dysphoria and body dysmorphia. And they're different. They're almost used simultaneously, but is a little different. Dysphoria, if I can remember correctly, dysphoria is where you have problems with the flaws of your body. So much so that they can feed off of or cause anxiety and depression and everything to be amplified. Then you have body dysmorphia, where your perception of your body is actually morphed and distorted. You're seeing things that aren't really there, or they're amplified that aren't really there. Both of them are greatly unfortunate, because I feel that every person can be attractive and can be sexually appealing and is and has this sexual being inside of them. They just have to find it. So it's unfortunate because a lot of people, and I sound super confident, but there are times like forever I would never have sex with the light ons, and honestly I don't prefer to, because yes, in my head I'm thinking, oh, they're gonna see every angle, every crack, every crevice, every wrinkle, every, you know, little fatty nodule, you know, the scar from when I was 15 and I fell and it's hideous, you know, like, I know I'm making a jest of it, but I mean, I've been in those moments where it's like any little thing wrong with my body, I'm afraid they're going to see. And the truth is, at the end of the day, bodies, the state of your body is never permanent. It never is. Our bodies change and morph and stretch and wrinkle and get scars and can change in the drop of a hat with an accident, with something gone wrong. We don't understand, you know, but it can happen all the time. So really, I mean, that's why I don't pay. And a lot of things with our body, we don't have control over. I don't have control that I have a period, you know. I don't get to control when I'm ovulating or when I have a period. I don't get to control, you know, the baseline. You know what I'm saying? Like the baseline processes of my body. You know, I have really bad knee. And so, you know, when a partner wants to do the up over the shoulders thing where my ankles are on their shoulder, basically, it hurts. You know, do I like the position? Yes, because I like getting that penetrative feeling that deep sometimes, or deeper, but it hurts, you know? So it sucks because it's something I like to do and want to be part of, but I have issues with it. That's just a small example, but you get what I'm saying. Like, there are things like the amount of hair you grow on your body. There's a lot of hormonal disorders, you know, or like men with receding hairlines or balding, penis size, breast size, you know, are you more prone to being curvy and thick or like super, super skinny? There's a lot of things you can do all you can, but some things you're just not going to change. And then some things change at the drop of a hat. You could be in an accident and be paralyzed. You could be in an accident and get hideous burns. You can develop a disease like cancer and have to have your breasts removed. You know, it's like all these things. And we place so much on appearance, on so many things we have no control over. And the little things we do have control over, sometimes it doesn't matter. It's not enough. So yes, I want to talk about different erogenous zones. I want to talk about body worship and a body appreciation. That episode is coming, I hope, in season 2. If not, it definitely will be in season 3. I apologize that you'll have to wait, but I lay out my seasons to be kind of balanced between heavy kink and lighter kinks and sex in general. So hang in there. But yes, it will be on an episode for sure. What if my partner wants to try something new, but I'm not into it, or vice versa? And when do we approach trying it with other people? I talked about this with Arl, so please tune in there. We have a request for adult nursing relationships and breast worship. Okay, that is something we'll probably visit. It'll probably be peppered in here and there, but I think that is such a niche kink, it may come in a later season. Men trying women's clothing this season. I actually will have an episode featuring all things from A to Z clothing and sex and how the two correlate for better or for worse. So I think some cross-dressing and things like that will be hinted on in there. Hey, shout out to my profile on GWA. Okay, I'll check you out. Maybe use good community members. You're only using your friends. Oh, that is some high sodium content. Oh, if you wanted to be on the show, all you have to do is ask. Listen, every post there has been a little blurb, and I have shared it on my Twitter, on a couple of servers. If you want to be on the show, reach out to me. I don't want people on the show that don't want to be on the show. And as far as using my friends, yes. Why would I use people I don't like? Or why would I use people that I don't really know, especially for a first season? Also, I'm super passionate about this show. The first people I've talked to about it are my friends, or people that I respect or wanted their opinions on it. So yeah, naturally, did the conversation come out? If you'd ever want to be on it, let me know. It's the same thing I've said on all my posts. If you ever want to be involved in any way or be a guest, hit me up. I said that to them. They said, we'd love to. Psh, there you go. But bing, you know, bing, bada, bing, whatever they say. I'm just saying, yeah, it's been on all the posts. I've gotten some requests for people to come back from listeners. I have gotten some new voices that want to be on the show. And in the next week or so, I'm going to reach out some more. Just a last call for alcohol kind of thing on a couple of different servers, and to see if anybody else, if there's any stragglers. And so, yeah, if you want to be on the show, hit me up. I am completely open. You know, it's an adult conversation thing. Yes, I am going to have to vet, you know, your comfortability on being on the microphone. Also, on top of that, some people, and this is also a reason why I have used certain guests, This show coming soon, I've actually started putting it out on mainstream podcast streaming sites, and some of the voices and people that I've approached, and I have been turned down, people that I've approached don't wish to have their voice recognized or even have a 1% chance of that. So they've turned me down, and I completely understand that. All of my guests, I tell them, when I invite them the final invite and what episode I'd love to have them on, I tell them, listen, I want to put this on Spotify, on Apple, on Google, on everywhere. It's going everywhere. This is a big thing. I don't want it to stop. This isn't going to stay in Reddit or just YouTube. It's going places. In my opinion, that's my drive and my aspirations. That's how passionate I am about it. So if you're not okay with that, then just say so. Because at the end of the day, even if I only put your episode on Reddit, everything that I put anywhere else can get back to Reddit. So you will be found on my show if you're worried about your voice being recognized. So that's another reason that I've selected who I've selected. The people I have, they don't have an issue with it, or they don't think they'll be recognized. So there you go. This one is, this next one's a little bit of a paragraph. Oh, it was just complimentary. Love the show. Thank you. Thank you for listening. I'm so glad. And I understand that people get nervous and some people use their actual accounts. So that's why they do the anonymous box. Thank you. That's why I have it. Talk about your favorite kinks to record or just my personal favorites. I would also enjoy hearing your thoughts on the foot fetish. Thanks for the episodes. They're really fun. Oh, okay. Favorite kinks to record. Everybody always knows I am the impreg queen, the breeding queen. I don't know. There's all these jokes about how much I love it because I really do love it. Something so primal and so natural and so base. It's so simple. I love that stuff. Other than that, I love gentle F-dom. I love being submissive at the same time. I'm a true switch. I love power plays, size differences. Oof. Primal, prey and predator. I love, sultry, tender, aftercare, all these things. I really do love the whole GFE experience with kink. That is my thing, that I really adore. As far as the foot fetish, I think, you know, I used to be like a lot of people kind of like, I don't know. You know, I know some people are like, gross. I've never been like that, but like, I'm just kind of like, I don't know. For years and years, I didn't like people touching my feet or anything like that, just because I guess I was, you know, I was younger. But then in college, I started getting things like pedicures because my roommate was like a complete girly girl and I'm a complete tomboy and we had a lot of fun moments. She would take me with her to go pedicures because she didn't want to go alone. And like, actually having my feet massaged and all these things were great. And I have had a partner that was really into feet and into the whole foot worship thing. And yeah, it can be really enjoyable and stuff like that. And I don't have an issue with it. Feet can be really cute. And, you know, depending on how dexterous you are, they can almost be like a second pair of hands. And so I don't know. But when we talk about erogenous zones, we might talk about feet some. As far as foot fetish for a whole episode, it's pretty niche. I may break it up with a couple other ones, but that could come later in another season. So anyways, thank you. Well, there were a few others that I vetted through. They were mostly just random comments or, like I said, I tried to catch them. I read them off without thinking, but some of them were other things that had nothing to do with the show at all. Thank you for the questions. I always want to know what you want to see. I'm going to get better at asking questions and getting my listeners really involved because your feedback means a lot to me and it really just makes the show. I know that I always say I want to know what you guys want to hear, what you want to listen to. And at the same time, I also have my own personal, I see the bigger scope of balance and things like that and stuff. This next season, I'm uber excited. I'm hoping to launch it in March. I'm not sure exactly what week, But I am starting to record soon with my guests that I've already selected, and I've got a few stragglers and maybe a few returnees that were all hyped about coming back. So please, please, if you have any questions, any issues, any advice, you want to help in any way, you know, there are so many elements to this. It is big and it's not going anywhere. And I'm looking into so many ways in which to grow it and where to put this and just everything. So if you think in any small way you want to help or you have any advice for me, questions, hit me up. I know I keep sounding like a broken record. It's late. But yeah, I want this to grow and be something fabulous. And I'm so excited. And it is just my first steps into the world of podcasting, as I have huge plans this year for other podcasting venues. So thank you. You guys are wonderful. Thanks for all the support. Kink safely. Make sex fun. And don't forget, it's okay. It is okay to want to try a new kink, and it is definitely okay to be kinky, and you aren't dirty at all. So be open. Communicate, 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 right? All right, loves. I look forward to all of your comments and look forward even more to season 2. Bye.